This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Off the drop, McDavid went forward and nearly got a shot on. McCarr sends it around. Marner waiting. Connor McDavid scores! Connor McDavid for Canada!
Thank you, Sportsnet, for the sound. And that was the final. The best player in the sport is the ultimate difference maker. 3-2, Canada wins the Four Nations face-off. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray. Andrew Perloff still on vacation. EJ Stewart in for him. And you know, I think what the biggest part about this from a U.S. point of view, and I know we have a lot of people in Canada, and you're welcome to call us up and gloat today at 855-212-4227 into the Victor Goes the Spoils. But from the U.S. side of this, are you hopeful or are you frustrated? Because, you know, this is an all-time felt-like moment, and I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but,
sure. You
know, hockey really found something here. And we've had great Olympic hockey, so we know that, you know, playing for your country means so much and can get these great results. But this is like they caught like lightning in a bottle here, and it became so much bigger than just the game. Yet, EJ, the game delivered also. This thing had so much symbolism. It had so much, like, history. It had so many poignant moments. You know, Mike Ruzioni, obviously, Miracle on Ice legend, coming out in a Johnny Gaudreau jersey, the crowd chanting Johnny Hockey. I mean, was emotional.
Yeah.
Obviously, the politics right now between our country and Canada is a little strained. I think that had something to do with it.
Why is that?
Definitely. I know, Manny will point you to CNN.
Yeah, go to AP News. You'll figure some stuff out.
Some things are going on. And, you know,
AP
even
Sports.
Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, tweeted out last night, you can't take our country, you can't take our sport. And listen, I get why it felt so emotionally charged. It had everything. And part of this, I came in saying, all right, I think the U.S. we're closing the gap here on Canada, you know, but they still have the generational talents. And EJ, you came in saying, I'm frustrated. When are we finally going to beat these guys?
Because at the end of the day, and maybe this is me, and I think it's appropriate for someone like me to be on the show, to be honest, because I'm not someone who's locked into the NHL all 82 games. I'm coming in basically playoff times. All right, what's going on?
Like, let's go do that
hockey. This is where I'm doing it. Let's go do that hockey, baby. So to me, I'm coming into this event. We haven't had Olympic hockey in terms of like the NHL players playing in the last two cycles. For me, it's like my last memory of big U.S. hockey matchup is 2010.
Yep.
And I feel like I just watched a replay of the 2010 gold medal game where Sidney Crosby calls game and gets a golden goal to advance to, you know, win the gold medal for the Canadians. And here we are again where it's the same result. USA plays a really strong game. It looks like they have the momentum. They're not able to finish it in overtime. Then, of course, the best player in the world, who's not on the Americans, it's a Canadian, and Connor McDavid, he wins the game. And it looks like, to me, 15 years removed, like, it's crazy that was 15 years ago to me, by the way. 15 years removed from that result, it feels like we were at the exact same place. So for me, it's hard for me to feel anything other than frustration, because we're Americans, Maggie. We want to be the best at everything. And even though we're going to do that hockey thing, I want us to be the best at doing that hockey thing, Maggie.
I know. I think it gets us into trouble sometimes, quite frankly. I guess you and I are coming at it from a different point of view, and I'm not saying that the U.S. is never going to be, like, better than Canada at hockey. I think we could win tournaments, but it is their national sport.
Yeah.
You know, we have diehard hockey fans. We have a lot of them in this building, so I'm not taking away from that. But it is their sport, and until we come up with the generational talent, then they are going to have the advantage here. And right now it's Connor McDavid. It was Sidney Crosby, right, who was out on the ice last night. It was Mario Lemieux. It was Wayne Gretzky. We haven't done that guy yet.
Yeah.
And until we do, and it becomes a priority in this country, I guess, or we just get lucky or whatever, then I think they're always going to have the advantage, and they deserve it.
And to be honest, you know, because I feel a little pessimistic in that. I don't know if we're ever get over this one, to be honest. Because when we think about the best athletes in America, they're simply not playing hockey. Like, the best athletes are playing football. The best athletes are playing basketball. The best athletes are playing baseball. So
are they even playing baseball anymore?
Well, yeah, that's falling apart, right? But, like, you know, we were in the World Baseball Classic Championship for that worse.
Yeah,
I still think a lot of the best players are still Americans. So really, you're going to have to come down a bunch of rungs in order to get to the best athletes playing hockey. Like, it's the same issue we have in American tennis, right? Where we're like, why can't we find...
Where's the next male American?
Where's the next Andre Agassi? Where's the next Pete Sampras? It's like, well, the best athletes, there are more of them being pushed to football. Like, football is so popular. I don't got to tell you guys. You know it already. It's so popular. Everyone growing up, they're not running to these other sports. And
it's also expensive to play hockey.
Oh, that's a whole aspect as well, is that there's a cost effect that's happening, that you don't have some of these issues with these other sports. And that's why, to me, the best way to get the best American hockey players, and it will hurt the sport, which is why I don't think you want to see it, is what we've been talking about this whole show. You got to raise the salaries. Mm. Like, to me, if you can tell a kid, you pick up that hockey stick, you could be making $50 million a year, I guarantee you will find kids everywhere across the country saying, hey, maybe I got to go do that hockey thing because I'm trying to play football and it's a lot harder and there's a lot of people playing it. It's just because the salaries aren't the same in terms of Major League Baseball, where even we could say that Major League Baseball isn't as popular as it used to be. You can still sign a $750 million contract, Maggie, as we learned, with Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto. So that incentive is still out there. And hockey is not. It's more about just you love this sport and this is the sport you take into. I think that's going to be a big issue. In Canada, this is their sport, like you said, so it just doesn't matter.
So, you know, you're welcome to call us at 855-212-4227. We have our audience in the United States and we have our audience in Canada. We want to hear from both of you about were you frustrated if you're an American? Were you frustrated or were you hopeful watching the Four Nations final last night? I do want to give a little credit to hockey that not all these guys are crying poor.
Sure.
Leon Draisaitl's value, he's making $14 million a year with a $112 million contract. Well,
$14 million, Matt. You mean, what's that? That's like Josh Hart money.
It's backup center money. Yeah. I understand. Like, Sidney Crosby is in the midst of a $100 million contract. Nathan MacKinnon, a $100 million contract. Connor McDavid makes $12.5 million. I know that's not what, you know, LeBron's making. I get it, for the best player in the sport, best player of the sport, or whatever you want to do. But $100 million is a pretty good carry,
Maggie,
EJ.
We just talked about Luka Doncic, who we keep hearing is fat and out of shape and it can't put down, you know, the Slovenian treats.
Yeah.
He just almost made $350 million, Maggie, over like a five-year contract. Like, the NBA guys are making, in some instances, four times more than the best player in hockey. Not just the best player, like a generational-type star. Like, that's the problem, is I think in America, the kids don't see that. They don't see $12 million and they're like, oh, that's the thing to do. They see what Juan Soto is making. They see what LeBron James is making. They see what Patrick Mahomes and these quarterbacks are making.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge thing with this. And as long as Canada's best athletes are going to keep playing hockey, we're always going to be second fiddle.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. I'm split on the money thing, because I think if you are, you know, these guys, to make it to this level, you have to be so exceptional, number one. And two, you have to have been playing your whole life. I think at some point you either want to do it because you have this thing inside of you.
Yeah.
Or you don't. I don't think anyone's saying, well, geez, I can only make $100 million, so I'm going to go be a banker. Like, I don't think that's the calculus. I think they're all trying so, so hard to do this.
But don't you think there is something, because I know it growing up, like, there is something to the and we're losing it a little bit because so many of these athletes are athletes of sons or things like that. But like,
pull yourself out of poverty.
Yes,
stuff?
This idea of like, oh, this is the way to make it. You want to be a millionaire? Now we keep reminding these kids that hey, you need to go to school because this is essentially a lottery ticket. The odds of making the NFL, the MLB, the NBA are super slim. But these kids see these examples of like, wow, if I could be LeBron James or I could be Stephen Curry or Kevin Durant, like I could be, you know, I could change my family's life. I could change my life. There aren't too many, because there are so many other international players playing in the NHL, and the NHL right now is probably the fourth sport in terms of pro sports. I don't think that young people growing up think of the NHL as a way to get to generational wealth or a way to change their lifestyles.
And I think a lot of sports fans play sports for more than money, though. I think you're getting to this level, maybe, but I think there's like so many, you're skipping a few steps, you know? I think that there has to be this commitment. It has to be unwavering. It has to be, you know, I always say about these guys, like, you got to be a killer inside, you know? There's nobody who's going to get you up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go skate. It's you. No mom or dad is going to be able to do that. Definitely. Ultimately, you have to want it. And so I don't know if the money is the biggest thing to me. I just think we haven't found that guy yet. And I'm not saying we won't, but that right now feels like the biggest difference between the USA and Canada. They had Connor McDavid last night and we did not. And I'm not trying to, you know, gloss over Jordan Binnington and how phenomenal the goalie for Canada was in overtime. He was fantastic. But they've had Gretzky and they've had Sidney Crosby and now they have McDavid and they've got it all. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Detroit, Brian, who's in Vancouver. What's the vibes right now in Vancouver, Brian?
It's good. It's really good. I wanted to touch on two things. One, I was actually going to talk about the hopeful American team and to give Americans hope, because I will tell you that I did jump off the couch screaming at overtime, but I was elbows on knees nervous. I think that Slavin was a beast. Their team played good. And when you look at the overall picture, I don't know how many people know about Quinn Hughes in Vancouver, but he is America's best defenseman. This guy's breaking Bobby Orr records, Ray Bourque records, like things that we haven't seen in 30, 40 years. And he's 25 years old, right? This kid is going to be around for a long time. I know we don't make injuries as an excuse, but there was a lot of injuries, and I think that the Americans are a lot better than people seem to be kind of portraying them. I get it's a downer thing to lose, but I think there's a lot of hope, and their team is really, really good.
Yeah, Charlie McAvoy coming in before the game in a sling, reading the starting lineup for the Americans, and then just bursting into tears. You could tell how much he wanted to play in this game. And then, obviously, Matthew Tkachuk, who couldn't go past basically midway through the second period. Yep. Troy Bryan, thank you for the call, and didn't play for basically almost half the game. Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, we always
also penalty call. Think too many men on the ice that did not get called in overtime, but, you know.
You know, it's funny.
No excuses.
You know, it's funny too, though. I think it's almost like because of the culture of hockey. Like, you know, if this was the Super Bowl or if this was a big NBA game, I think we'd probably be leading the show with like they missed a massive call.
But
it's almost like to Detroit Bryan's point, like that's not a thing. Like, we all understand that injuries are a part of the sport, and you play hurt, and you give all you got, and you play with who you have, and that calls happen. But that's just hockey. Like, in some ways, if there's anything that all these sports can take, is that. Perhaps maybe we're focused on these other things that really don't matter or really kind of ruin the experience, because we're so focused on who's not playing, what this ref did, what that ref did, instead of just celebrating the guys on the ice or the guys on the field or the guys in the courts. In some ways, maybe Kevin Durant was right, that maybe we do just complain too much. Like, we just took in what was a great night last night of hockey, and we kind of put the other stuff to the side.
855-212-4227. We're asking you a couple questions. Did the NHL embarrass the NBA over the last week, considering how well their gimmick worked and the NBA's gimmick did not work? Because the players bought in a lot more on the hockey side, obviously, than the NBA players did. And I'm not saying that actually the NBA basketball was not atrocious this time around, but nobody liked the format. It didn't seem like the players liked the format, put it that way. And it was way too long, and it just did not resemble anything close to the sport. that, at least last night and throughout this tournament, we've gotten the best hockey, and it's looked just dynamite. So a little NBA versus NHL if you want to get in on that. And then also, are you hopeful or are you frustrated by the fact that the Team USA came up short? I'm hopeful. Again, I hate participation trophies, but I am hopeful. And it looks like we put a scare into some of the Canadians who are calling our show this morning or people living in Canada.
I don't know why, to be honest. I mean, I know that was a great game, was a close game in Canada. You know, there, in some ways, Canada is the way we are about our Americans in basketball, right? Like, we expect to win gold no matter what. There are no excuses. So to be in a close game against the Americans in a gold medal game, regardless of the circumstances, is nerve-wracking.
Feels a little too tight.
Yeah, they feel like they should be smoking everybody. But at the same time, I would argue you were in this position in 2010, and things worked out just fine, right? Like, so I just feel like we're kind of in an endless loop here. Like, Canadians have the best players still. The Americans have definitely made some ground, that's for sure. But it just feels like, again, when everything's on the line, we know who has the better roster. We know who has the better top-end talent, and that's going to pull through in the end.
855-212-4227. So reacting off of last night's hockey game, did you watch it? What'd you like about it? On my top five moments from the American point of view, coming up later in the show. We do have football news for you. We would not forget about our national pastime, which used to be baseball and is now the NFL. We will get to that in a moment. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ's in for Pearl. Get back to hockey in just a moment, but got to hit you with a little cowboy quickie, as we always do, because there's some big news yesterday that seven-time All-Pro guard Zach Martin is calling it a career. This has been one of the best draft picks probably in the history of the Dallas Cowboys, which is saying something considering how good they've been at drafting. And a surefire walk-in Hall of Famer. And just, you know, listen, guy played for a long time and is now calling it quits. But just an 11-year career. But just another kind of example of a lost opportunity for these great players. And, you know, for Jerry Jones and for the Cowboys, you got to have a lot of, regrets, EJ, that Zach Martin could never even get to an NFC Championship game, let alone play in a Super Bowl. It's a little not how I felt about Joe Thomas from the Browns. That was way different. Like, he played every snap and, like, never even, like,
so any, make the playoffs
any
even?
Postseason like, yeah, success seriously. Whatsoever. It's not like that. But there has to be some regret that a player like that, who was just so talented, was never able to get anywhere close to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, definitely a missed opportunity. But I'll be honest, I think maybe this is a good thing for the Cowboys. Here's why. We thought when Jason Kelce left the Eagles last year, we thought, where is the leadership going to come from? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going to happen? Like, there's already a locker room that seems to be fractured. Like, how are they going to get themselves back to where they were going back to the Super Bowl? It seemed like in some ways losing a person so important to the locker room actually raised everyone else's antennas. It made everyone else a little more attentive, made everyone else maybe a little more aggressive in terms of how they approach in locker room issues. We saw Brandon Graham basically go on local Philly radio and say, "We have a problem, people. We have a problem that has to be fixed." And then to their credit, they did fix it. So I wonder if losing someone like a Zach Martin means that other guys in the locker room step up as leaders, because Zach Martin was, you know, as we now know, at the end of his career. He wasn't the same player he was when he was obviously in his prime. So maybe some of these guys who are bigger factors on the team take the leadership ownership the way Zach Martin did for his career.
It's your cowboy quick. There you go. Zach Martin calling a career. Yeah. I mean, this is what's going to happen now with some of these cowboy guys. You don't have a change, and if you don't all of a sudden turn the corner here, and let's be honest, I don't think anyone's feeling very confident about the Dallas Cowboys this season.
Nope.
Haven't gone through the offseason yet. You know, haven't gone through free agency or the draft, but you know, the Brian Schottenheimer hire, not awe-inspiring, and now you're going to have guys who had these really good cowboy careers going to retire with very little to show for it except for their individual accolades. They're all pros. They're pro bowls, and they'll walk into the hall, as I said, but you know, what a waste. CeeLo is here with updates on this fine morning. What's up, CeeLo?
Well, there is no Connor McDavid golden goal last night in Boston without this guy on the other end of the ice for Team Canada.
And it comes to McKinnon. His pass is too far for Reinhart, and back come the U.S. Matt Matthews! Denied again! Loose in front! I can't believe Jordan Binnington! Austin Matthews had another chance, and Binnington made another save.
That was the call on NHL Network Radio from SiriusXM. A few of numerous grade-A chances for the U.S. in overtime turned aside by Jordan Binnington. They couldn't get one past him for the final 40 minutes of this Four Nations Face-Off Championship game, and then McDavid buried the game-winner from the slot on a setup by Mitch Marner a little over 8 minutes into the extra session, so Canada wins 3-2 after the U.S., of course, took them down in the round-robin matchup back on Saturday. Here is McDavid on the elation of winning against their rival country.
Just to see the reaction, just to know what it means to us. You know, I know it's just a quick tournament, you know, and it's not an Olympic gold medal or anything like that, but it means the world to our group. As you can see, everybody battled so hard all week, so it was special.
It was McDavid afterwards on ESPN. On the other side, Austin Matthews echoing something we heard from a lot of guys in the lead up to this one, really on both sides.
I think this was probably the biggest game a lot of us have played in. You don't get too many opportunities to wear these colors, to wear this jersey.
Though many of them should get a chance again next year in the Olympics, which we'll look forward to. And some of the bad blood remains. This was U.S. defenseman Brock Faber doing an on-ice pregame interview with NHL Network last night.
As a 15-year-old playing for Osseo Maple Grove, you're playing a lot in Minnesota. What would that 15-year-old tell you at 22 years old you'd be playing for Team USA in this game?
He'd tell me he hates Canada.
Wow.
It's pretty strong.
You know, obviously the hockey part of this is, you know, rivals, and there should be a healthy amount of, like, sports hate. But, man, like, where are we going here with this whole Canada thing?
I know. It's intensifying. Also,
I don't want to hate Canada.
No, not necessarily.
I don't want them to hate us.
But, yeah, it is a little awkward.
Like, the hockey part is fine. You know, I think
that's always been there.
The USA soccer with Mexico, we have a good rivalry with them and our neighbors to the south. But, like, let's put some barriers up here. You know, let's not let this thing get out of hand. That's what I'm hoping.
I don't know if that's going to happen, Maggie. It doesn't feel like the momentum
is not
there.
Going that way.
Yeah, and it feels like the players are taking that tension and bringing it to the ice, which, you know, for our selfish reasons, doing this job, I mean, is awesome in terms of watching and talking about it.
Yeah,
like this is what you want, right? Like, you want sports and these athletes who are making a lot of money to really give a damn.
Yeah.
And these guys do. And it's funny hearing one of those players talk about how this is the biggest game they're going to play in. I actually think that's a massive deal, because even in hockey, where essentially, because if you can have a hot goalie, you can go anywhere, it feels like you get to the playoffs and a lot of teams can make a run. But a lot of these guys are playing on teams that aren't realistically Stanley Cup contenders. Yeah. And I think that's a big part of why this was big, too, was because this was a chance to win something that meant something to these guys. You're playing in an NFL or an NBA season or an MLB season where your team is just completely out of it. Like, yeah, the All-Star game doesn't mean much to you because you're not playing for anything. You're not going to win anything. For these guys, this was something that mattered, and that was a big difference.
Well, the rivalry here certainly intensified as we head into next year's Winter Olympics. Meantime, NHL regular season resumes with 14 games coming up tomorrow. To the NBA, LeBron the other night clanked a couple of potential game-tying threes Wednesday night at home in a loss to the Hornets. He turns around and hangs 40 on the Trailblazers in a 110-102 Lakers road win without Luka Doncic. And LeBron himself was questionable for the second of a back-to-back because of left foot and ankle injuries, but he found a way.
We did get in at 3, but I slept all the way till about 11:30 this morning. Got some rehab after that for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I slept again for about 2.5 more hours.
So he's getting all the sleep.
Got a little breakfast.
That's what they were saying.
Then I returned a couple emails. Like, how detailed are we going to get about his schedule?
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't get sleep here on morning radio. So,
second morning in Savannah, saw Bronny upstairs playing video games. Yeah, right. That was at about 11:30.
I was jealous just when I heard how many times he said he slept.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a huge napper.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know I'm a big napper as well. I'm the person who splits the sleep in terms of how to,
you know,
do this job. But, like, I was trying to do the math in my head. I was like, what is that, 12 hours he slept that day?
I blinked 3 times at about 3:15.
Yeah, right. Went to the bathroom. You know, how detailed are we going to get here? No, NBA players, the nap is everything. I'm sure for hockey players, too.
They do. They do morning skate. They go home, get a nap, a little food, come back in, get ready for the game at night, for a regular night game. You know, on the weekends, sometimes you get the 12:30, 3 o'clock start, and that changes things a little bit. That's why I hate matinee hockey. It just doesn't have the same vibe.
Nah, it takes a minute to get things going, but good for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be a good napper if you're an athlete.
No doubt.
Yeah, because it also is just the nature of your sport, right? Like you're playing these night games where they're
Different schedule.
Ending at midnight or ending at 11, or you don't get out of the arena until a certain time. So.
And then they'll go to dinner.
Right.
Dinner.
That is always the thing that is freaking me out, because I'm not someone who could sit there and say, I'm going to order the steak at 12:45 p.m., you know, or
I always think about it with the baseball players when a guy gets, like, air quotes, the day off. It's like, all right, we're going to give him a day off, except in the bottom of the ninth when suddenly we need you to pinch hit and we're going to actually need you to be peaking now. It's 10:30 at night. Mm. We need your absolute max effort. And that you go up there for like one at bat, say you get Aaron Judge or something from the Yankees. You get the air quotes night off. But,
go get hot, kid. Go get hot.
We need you with two on and one out in the ninth inning. And then how do you wind down after that?
You have to get so amped,
then you got to go to dinner.
You swing at the first pitch and you pop it up.
Go back in the dugout.
Your night is ruined. Yeah. You had the Celtics beating up on the Sixers 124-104, and Joel Embiid after the game talking about, really dejected, talking about how he's got to fix the problem in his left knee to return to his all-star form. The way I was playing a year ago is not the way I'm playing right now. It sucks. Got to fix it, then I'll be back at that level. Talked about how he's not a dominant player right now, so it's been a forgettable season for the Sixers, to say the least. The Spurs beat the Suns 120-109.
In my opinion.
What's that?
Man,
memorable?
He's loving it.
Okay. Memorable, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I guess it depends on, you know, where your allegiances lie, so I get that.
Well, we just all like to, you know, Perloff's a little too high riding on his Eagles that just won the Super Bowl, so we kind of like to even it out with the 76ers.
Philadelphians have to be humbled somehow.
I would agree with that. I would agree. No Victor Wembanyama. He has been shut down for the remainder of the season, dealing with a blood clot in his shoulder. Apparently that issue can be resolved with blood thinners, but a little bit of a scary situation for him coming out of the All-Star weekend. NBA has suspended Bucks forward Bobby Portis 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policy. You guys touched on Zach Martin with the Cowboys, calling it a career after 11 years. And a little baseball note for you, the Yankees extending manager Aaron Boone his contract through 2027. So he gets a couple of years on top of the last year on his deal after the Yankees, of course, came up short against the Dodgers in the World Series.
Fun.
Sounds so excited over there, Manny.
Manny's wearing your Yankee hat today.
I am hysterical.
Yeah. Two extra years of a lot of criticism here in New York for Boone. It's always something people don't like about.
There's always going to be something. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be a wonderful time in the summertime around here.
Well, listen, I think sometimes it's a little too much on Aaron Boone, but to be honest, everyone should be wearing that World Series.
Yeah.
Everybody should. Yeah. And I know that Judge had like no errors and all of a sudden you come up with a drop in the fifth inning, but everyone should wear that. It was one of the, and CeeLo, I know you're a big Yankee fan too. I mean, listen, I get it. You went to the World Series, so of course the manager is going to get extended. Like, they're not swapping him out.
I'll be honest, though. Seeing only a couple years, I was like, ooh.
Oh, they do this to him.
And yeah.
They've let him go into the last year of his deal.
Well, that's what happened to happen here.
Yeah. They don't care.
He was going to be a lame duck coach going into it.
I think that tells me that if they don't get it done this year, even though he's extended, I do wonder still if they may say, if it's something that's so bad where they flop in the wild card round, they flop in the divisional round, because they didn't commit to him for 5 years. Like this, he has one of the best winning percentages of any manager ever to start their career. You would think that a guy like that who just went to the World Series, he's getting a 5-year extension in most other scenarios with the Yankees, only a couple years. Like I was starting to think maybe the pressure is getting on Boone. The fans want that, but they haven't really felt that for him.
Well, now that they've made it to the World Series, I think that is now the bar. I think if they don't actually win the World Series over the next 2 years, that the Yankees might move on. Yep. I don't know if they'll fire him, but they'll move on after the 2 years.
I think you guys are forgetting a couple very important things about this particular situation.
One,
is he tied to the hip to Brian Cashman? Mm. Brian Cashman is the general manager of the Yankees, and he himself has been on and off the hot seat, allegedly. Mm-hmm. So he has stood up for Aaron Boone on multiple occasions.
Time and time again.
So are they tied?
I think he has a lifetime job, but continue.
Yeah, he might. He's like the lost Steinbrenner child.
Exactly.
But then there's another part of this. I don't think Aaron Boone makes a lot.
He does not.
He does not.
Right.
No.
So, and I think we see this with the Cowboys, and we see this with other teams. They don't want to pay the coaches. Like, so much is going into the salary of the players. They don't want to pay the coaches. There was a rumor that when Boone got hired, I think he was making like $600,000, which is phenomenal for regular people.
I'll take it.
But for the manager of the New York Yankees, I bet by the end, Joe Torre had to have been making, and even Joe Girardi was probably making in the millions. I think they like the fact that Aaron Boone, a little cost effective.
Which is interesting, since he had the TV job, you know, before he...
And was a major leaguer. I'm sure he made a lot of money.
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, he could have, in theory, just continued on as an analyst and doing the TV thing and living more of a relaxed lifestyle on top of the money he made.
Sure.
You know, so to going back to the... You can see the stress wear on these guys. Like, if I showed you Joe Girardi at the beginning of his Yankees tenure, and you could do the same with Boone. I mean, he's got the bags under the eyes.
Oh, it's like the president. Yeah. Like Obama when he came in and when he came out. It was just like, whoa, this one... Have you seen J.J. Redick lately? When did his hair become so gray?
Yeah, he's having... they're playing pretty well, but he's had issues. Hey, can I ask you guys a question about the Bobby Portis thing?
Sure. Because basketball.
The agent basically said that this was a mix-up where there were two drugs that were sounded exactly the same and were spelled almost exactly the same.
Correct.
And somehow that is why he... used his banned substance. Is there any...
This is like the Princess Bride where they're just like mixing up the cups.
Is there any scenario where you would believe a guy really didn't mean to cheat and use PEDs that you would believe? Because this is probably one that is... It sounds ridiculous, but when I read the name of the drugs, I was like, is this dyslexia? I feel like I'm reading the same name. I don't know what's...
My favorite is the tainted meat.
That was Yannick Sinner? No. Yannick Sinner was...
Canelo Alvarez had a tainted meat.
Canelo Alvarez was that, yeah.
Alvarez was the tainted meat. I'm sorry. Yannick Sinner, the tennis player, was the masseuse, had a banned substance on their hand.
Yes.
And then
that's crazy.
Massage him.
Yes. And somehow that was...
And they actually bought that until they didn't.
Bobby Portis was looking for some Toradol, and he ended up taking something else.
That sounds just like... But
why is the other thing anywhere near? Like... Here, so short answer, no.
Okay.
And not to be like a total skeptic, but no, I do not believe these guys ever. However, I do believe that Bobby Portis is a pretty stand-up dude.
He is.
I just think that there's...
Former Nick.
Guys need, like, they have their reasons, and they feel like it's worth the risk.
They threw the assistant right under the bus here, reading the statement.
Yeah, 100%.
That guy is the fall guy.
He will never be working with professional athletes again, even if he didn't do anything wrong, even if he took... He did exactly what was supposed to be done, and Bobby Portis just got popped. It doesn't matter. His life is over.
And I mean, what a loss for the Bucks too. I mean, that's one of the best six men in the league, and the Bucks are, you know, fighting for playoff positioning right now. It's a massive loss as well. Not only is it a boneheaded mistake, but it's a massive loss for Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, the bigger loss is going to be when Giannis leaves in the offseason.
Oh, you're calling a shot now.
Yep. He's dying, guys. That's not me, by the way. That's him. I'm just following the breadcrumbs and the tea leaves that Giannis is putting down. So I was talking about, if they can't prove to me that they're going to be a consistent winner, I've got to put that above everything else. This dude's been looking for a way out since he won the title.
Did you hear who's the favorite to land him if he were to leave?
Oh, probably your New York Knicks.
That would be my New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance he's here, by the way.
Plus 400.
I think if he's here, it would be actually Brooklyn. Like that.
Yay.
Yeah, no more better. Superstars going to Brooklyn. Keep trying to work this thing out, guys. How many corpses do you need to see go by the wayside?
Yeah, how'd that work out for you last time, Alex?
Or the time before that with KG and Paul Pierce? This microwave thing does not work.
You guys sound like Regina George. The Nets are never going to be a thing. Stop making the Nets a thing.
You guys know better than I would. I mean, what are the Knicks at this point? What kind of package could they put together to bring Giannis here?
It's Karl-Anthony Towns.
That's it, yeah.
Whoever other player you want. I just
don't think it's not even about that. Yeah. It's the player says, I want to go here and reverse engineer how we're going to make this work.
I know. They just sacrificed so many picks recently to bring in the guys that they did. They're going to turn around and flip Towns out of here now to get Giannis?
I don't think it's the Knicks. I think it's the Lakers. 855-212-4227.
Maggie's just shooting from the logo everywhere.
I'm sorry.
I love it, though. No, I love
it. We're all thinking it. Or you should be thinking it.
I'm thinking about him in blue and orange.
I mean, listen, watch. You think Giannis, any of these guys, you need to go on some like podcast, doing interviews. It's like podcast, interview with the New York Times.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well have taken out an ad.
If Maggie's going to shoot from the logo, here's my shot from the logo. I don't know. Giannis, I don't think he's the difference maker he was a couple years ago. And I'm actually a little concerned that his game doesn't age that well. Because he's not necessarily a shooter.
No.
He is someone who relies heavily on his physical gifts, just overpowering people, being bigger, stronger, faster. How much longer?
He can basically dunk from the three-point
line. But how much longer can he play at this level without having some diminishes coming from his offensive game, from his athleticism? Like, it feels like unless he develops more than just being, I'm bigger, stronger, faster than you, that you could see maybe the tail end of his career maybe not look as dominant. So if you're trading a bunch of assets for him, I think your window, you will have a window because he's still one of the top five players in the league. But I think your window is a lot shorter than maybe his age suggests. Maybe he's probably, what, 28, 29? You would think, okay, that's a good five-year window. I don't know. I wonder if it's maybe more like two or three, to be honest.
He turned 30 in December.
30? Okay, yeah. So, like, to me,
it took a little longer to develop, but he was super raw when he came to the
game. This is a guy that's also, we're not talking about a guy who's taking, you know, I know they did have a few weird first round exits, but you're talking about a guy that's playing deep in the playoffs too. He's not just playing 82 games. He's playing 100 games, 95 games. This team is playing deep playoff series, physical playoff series. So this is a guy with some tread on the tires. Not everyone's LeBron James, guys. Everyone thinks that everyone could just play to a 40 and be amazing. We're going to learn the hard way that some of these guys that are going to come up with that we think have these expanded primes, I'm not sure about that. I think Giannis will be a great, great test study for that.
855-212-4227. CeeLo, thank you so much. We'll check in with you next hour. Lots more hockey to do today off of Canada. Winning the Four Nations faceoff 3-2 in overtime. Connor McDavid, shocker, is your hero for Canada. We're back in a minute.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart's in for Perloff, who's still on vacation in Costa Rica, but he'll be back on Monday. So we got to get to how it's going for Bill Belichick down in North Carolina, because earlier this week, we actually had the pleasure and privilege of talking to Roy Williams, the former head coach, head basketball coach at North Carolina. And I asked him, so have you talked to Belichick? Have you given him any pointers, you know, about life in Chapel Hill? said, absolutely not. He had talked to him, but no pointers. And everyone's super excited that Belichick is on campus. Now, here is his general manager. So this is the football general manager for North Carolina Tar Heels. It's Michael Lombardi. He's a former GM in the NFL who is calling North Carolina the 33rd NFL team. Let's hear it.
Everything we do here is predicated on building a pro team. We consider ourselves the 33rd team because everybody's involved with our program has had some form of aspect in pro football.
Okay, so a little calling your shot to call North Carolina football, which is not exactly Alabama and Georgia. Yeah. And actually the programs like Ohio State who are sending guys to the NFL at the highest clip. But they say they're just running their team like an NFL team.
Sure.
So a couple things here. Number one, I think that they are going to have success. Mm-hmm. Now, that's all going to depend on our expectations. If the expectation is Bill Belichick won, you know, six Super Bowls, so he should come in and win a national championship, well, that's a little ridiculous. But should North Carolina be competing for college football playoffs? I would say after year two of Belichick, like year one, you know, you got to like let him get his feet wet. But by year two, should he be competing for college football playoffs, especially if he goes to 14 or 16 teams and the ACC gets two automatic bids?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think they're setting the bar high, EJ, and I think rightfully so. They're calling their shot. Hey, we're a pro team because we have all this pro experience. I think they should lean into that.
But how can you call yourself a pro team with when you have places like Georgia that are putting pro players in the NFL every year? Alabama has been putting pro players in the NFL during the Nick Saban era. To me, Ohio State, like to me, those are more the 33rd and 34th teams in the NFL than North Carolina is, simply because they got a bunch of NFL guys working there. And I'm starting to get a little concerned because it's not necessarily Bill. And we, you know, we both love Lombardi, and he's a character,
man.
He's a character, and he says how he feels, and he doesn't shy away, and I love that about him. But I'm starting to get a little concerned that there's an energy around Carolina that things is just going to be easy. Mm-hmm. That they just show up and they know so much more than everyone else. That they know everything about what it takes to build a winner in football. Therefore, they're going to come in and just have a lot of success. And I will point to a lot of NFL coaches who went to college and struggled mightily. Herman Edwards at Arizona State was a disaster. Jim Mora at UCLA was a disaster. There are so many examples of guys, and I know
Lovie Smith,
disaster. Like I know people will run to Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's a unicorn.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of examples of guys who were NFL coaches, guys who went to college, went to NFL, and then went back. NFL coaches going to college, having no college experience and winning. So to me, I think I would like to hear a little more humility. I think I'd like to hear a little more, hey, we're trying to learn this landscape. Not so much we know it all, because I don't think you do. I think that, yes, the NIL thing makes it a little closer to playing, using, you know, running a football NFL team similar to the way it is in college. But I think there are a lot of questions to be answered. I think there's a lot of things these guys are going to have to learn. I think there's going to be some growing pains. And it sounds like they think they have it all figured out. And okay. I don't think they do.
So, listen, maybe they get their comeuppance here and like reality kind of hits them in the face. But I think you're kind of minimizing what is the most important part of this is college football is more like the NFL than it's ever been.
Sure.
And they do have experience of this. And Mike Lombardi has been a general manager. And Bill Belichick basically was the general manager for all those years in New England. So they know that aspect of this so well. And, you know, with Herm Edwards and with Lovie Smith and some of the other guys who went to college, they were kind of like, especially Herm, he kind of goes to college when there's no NIL, and then they kind of have to navigate the world.
Yeah.
Right? It was like the college football was under this huge transition while they're there.
In some ways, the fact that there was this transition was the reason why it failed, right? Because they were just giving guys money and under the table and stuff.
Belichick is like, he's here in the new world.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a little of the Wild West, and we have a lot of details to hammer out, but there's no illusions that this is amateur football anymore. And so I think Belichick and Lombardi and all the guys at North Carolina get a leg up here because they don't even have to pretend to, like, you know, have to say, like, hey, we're going to just recruit you on our reputations or stuff like that. It's about the money. It's always about the money. And I think the colder and more calculated it can be, the more it favors Belichick. Because, and I'm not saying that Kirby Smart and these other guys aren't calculated and cold and they will cut guys and they don't care. But like for Dabo Swinney, I don't know how cold and calculated he's being when he's recruiting, because they're not going into the portal and they're hoping to develop guys. Like Belichick's like ability to take emotion out of his football decision making is, I think, one of his greatest attributes. And so that's kind of how it is now.
That's funny you mentioned that.
Except for the fact that he decided to part with Tom Brady when obviously Brady still had more in the tank. But there's been multiple documentaries made about all that stuff. That was a mistake. But in a lot of ways, it wasn't mistakes what he was doing during the dynasty, which is he was getting rid of guys a year early, then a year too late. And college football is as cold and calculated as ever. That plays into Belichick's hands.
That part plays into Belichick's hands. But what doesn't play into Belichick's hands when it comes to being that cold and calculating is dealing with 18 and 19-year-olds. And that's the other aspect we just don't know. We've seen Belichick and how he handles grown men. And at times, even that felt harsh.
Yep.
Even at times, that alienated people. Can you do that to a 21-year-old, to a 22-year-old? How does that affect the rest of your locker room? How does that affect your roster? Yes, these guys may not have to worry so much about getting money or what they're going to do in their, you know, their Spanish final, but they are young men who deal with various different things that teenagers and young men do.
Yeah.
And is he the right temperament to deal with that? Again, when I hear we know it all with a 33 NFL team, it suggests to me that you think that these things aren't factors in terms of building a winner, and it is. Like, I know we can, and I have criticized Kirby Smart for, I think, how he's handled dealing with young men, because we've seen his guys get in a lot of trouble. But that is a factor that you have to navigate. Like, how does he handle that? Like, Perloff will tell you a million times that the Patriots didn't care about character.
Yeah.
You cannot put a roster of just pure knuckleheads and guys who get in trouble or take those kind of risks without the mechanisms that an NFL team has to protect players who maybe are, you know, kind of not so much in the straight and narrow, and think that that's going to work out.
Well, also,
your program could fold if you let things get too out of hand.
You're right about that. I mean, I think the NFL, you have like maybe a couple guys on the team that need straightening out, but I think the majority of dudes in the NFL are actually mature, handle their business.
Right.
That we just don't really talk about that because it's not newsy. Here's the thing, though, about Belichick and how he like runs a program.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain guys who thrived in the Patriot way, and there were other guys who just didn't, and they didn't like it. So he's going to have to find that same kind of person. Like, who is your college Julian Edelman? Mm-hmm. Who is your college Wes Welker? Who are these guys? And I'm just your Tom Brady, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, who is your Matthew Slater? Like, these guys who were Devin McCourty, they were so into the Patriot way, they didn't care that Belichick was, you know, not warm and fuzzy, not a lot of charisma. They'll swear up and down he's different behind the scenes, which I never bought, never at all.
Yeah.
But they'll swear up and down he's funny and he's this and that. So I think it's just about finding your right guy. I don't have a problem with Belichick calling his shot here, because he's basically doing NFL light, which is what college football is.
Yeah, I just wonder if that is really the model to winning in college football. Like, I didn't see Georgia. I didn't see Ohio State. Well, Ohio State got Chip Kelly, but Chip Kelly was a college coach. So
yeah,
it's not like they're getting a guy who never coached in college. I don't see those teams saying, hey, let's just hire a bunch of NFL people and do things the way the Patriots do them, and that's how we're going to build a great college football team. That has not happened. What we've seen is teams, yes, they have to get a general manager. Yes, they need someone to raise funds for NIL. But I don't necessarily think that those things mean that, oh, this is now the NFL, and therefore Belichick has this massive leg up, when he still has to deal with those other issues in terms of dealing with young men and what it means to maybe be somewhat of a father figure. You have to be that. Like, Coach Prime, to his credit, like, he is a cult of personality, and that also allows those kids to follow and believe in him. Is Belichick able to do that, or is he going to just be, listen, man, this is just, we're on to North Carolina State.
On to Clemson.
Right.
I mean, isn't that also what the rings are for, though? Put the rings out on the table.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what you're all about. 855-212-4227. So that was a little from the college football ranks. We have more NFL for you. And also, what we saw in Boston last night was epic. Canada beats the U.S. So I get our top five moments from last night's final.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.